Hello, this is Pastor Cal Hampton. I want to thank you for taking time out of your busy schedule to listen to our Second Mile podcast. It is my prayer that the Spirit of God might just enliven your spirit so that you might get a word from heaven today. And as always, you have an invite to come and worship with us down here at Second Mile Church on 804 Riverside Drive in Clarksville. May the Lord bless you. Thank you.
Dear Heavenly Father, we come before you today assuming a posture of worship. We bow before you. We kneel before you. We raise our hands. We sing to you. We worship. And we ask that you be with Brother Cal as he comes and he brings the word to us as well. Use this service to transform our hearts that we may be open to your will and that we may go out and be your kingdom here on earth. Thank you for all that you do and have done for us. And it's in Jesus' most precious and holy name that we pray. And all God's people said,
amen. Thank you. Wasn't that wonderful? We've been having some great Christmas services this month. Last Sunday night was really good. Last Sunday morning. I mean, we've been having overflow crowds. And I got to look, and I asked Sarah and Will, I was looking at the crowd today, and I thought, have we missed the rapture? You couldn't even hardly find a seat the last three or four Sundays. So, but I'm glad you're here. And evidently, we've got a lot of folks sick and out today, but we're glad that you all are here. And we've got a very special visitor, somebody who's very near and dear to mine and Diana's heart, Jimmy Kelly. Stand up, Jimmy. I want to recognize him. He is a good brother of mine. And as you can tell by looking at him, he can go bear hunting with a switch. But Jimmy was one of our former deacons down at that Green River Baptist Church in Waynesboro. And his family's really near and dear to me. And he's been through a rough time the last few years. He's had three heart attacks. He's had stents put in and 12 and a half hour surgery and da 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 da. But he looks pretty good, doesn't he? Yes. And he drove 2 hours to be with us this morning. So y'all welcome Jimmy today. There is nothing like the family of God. Amen. I said there's nothing like the family of God. Amen. And so if you have a Bible this morning, we are in the third Sunday of this season we're calling Advent. And as we begin to celebrate the birth of our Lord. And we're talking about, as you've already heard, the Postels did a great job. We're talking about the theme for the third Sunday, joy. Joy. And I don't know if you understand this or not, but you've got something that the world can't take away. You've got something that that doesn't depend upon circumstances and the things that come down the path at you. Nothing and no one can take this away from you. The joy of Jesus. Amen. Let's stand in His honor. We're in the great vine and branches passage in John 15 today. So if you would turn there, we'll get started. Y'all are already there. Praise the Lord. Okay. I want to start there at verse 9, and the key verse that we're going to focus on is verse 11 in chapter 15. As the Father loved me, I also have loved you. Somebody say amen. Amen. Abide in my love, and if you keep my commandments, hello, you will abide in my love. Just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in His love. And here's what I want us to focus on today. Jesus said, these things I have spoken to you, that my joy may remain in you, and that your joy may be full. Jimmy, ask God to bless the word today, would you?
Lord, we come to you thankful this morning. Thankful, Lord, that your word became flesh.
Mm-hmm.
Thankful for this time of year and what it means. Lord, we're thankful this morning that you're so much more than a babe in a manger.
Hallelujah.
Lord, we thank you this morning that our sin debts, past, present, and future, hallelujah, and that we may have joy. And Lord, we come to you thankful this morning that there's a free gift available to all of us, Lord. And I pray if there's 1, 10, or 20 in this place who needs a free gift of salvation, not religion, Lord, but salvation, a relationship with Jesus. Lord, I pray that you would give it to us.
Hallelujah.
We thank you, Lord, that your word says that where two or three are gathered together, there your spirit is also.
Yes, Father.
That promise. Lord, but there are special times. There are special times when your spirit shows up in special ways. Lord, we're asking you for one of those times this morning.
Bless yes, Father.
Brother, as he brings the word and draws all closer to you, is my prayer. In Jesus' name we pray.
Amen. Can you tell Jimmy's got a bad case? I can't help it. I took him up to the Tennessee Baptist Convention with me one year, and he gave a testimony in front of all the pastors and the preachers. And Brother John Lida, my former pastor, came up to me after Jimmy got speaking. He said, I think he ought to be the preacher at y'all's church. Anyways, I love this brother, and I'm so thankful, Jimmy, you made the trip. You made my Sunday. But the main one we want here is the Spirit of the living God. Amen. And so if he doesn't show up, everything's in vain. But I believe he's here. Look at somebody and tell them he's here. Amen. All right. Now, it is the third Sunday, and as the Postels have introduced the theme of joy for the morning, I want us to just really settle in on the joy of Jesus. You know, when Jesus was born, I've been doing some studying about Advent because I've never really preached on Advent in all these years. You know, it's really used to be a real liturgical thing, and it comes from Catholic background, that kind of stuff. But the candle that they lit this morning, they call the Shepherd's Candle. You remember the announcement of the angel to the shepherds. I bring to you good news, great tidings of great joy, which will be to all people. And so at this time of year, really like no other time during the year, we can have great joy. Joy, joy, joy. I got to thinking about all these songs we sing, you know, about joy. And what is it? I've got the joy, 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 joy down in my heart. Where? Where? I've got that wonderful love of my blessed Redeemer way down in the depth of my heart. I don't need to go there, but anyways. The joy of Jesus. Nothing quite like it. And, you know, the Bible describes Jesus bringing great joy at his birth. And so that's what we're celebrating today, is the joy of Jesus. Hallelujah. And, you know, aren't you thankful for the joy that Jesus brings? Amen. You remember when you got saved? Some of y'all look like you're mad about that. You remember when you got saved? Hallelujah. And the joy that came flooding into your soul. Well, that's what we're talking about this morning. Someone has well said, the way to spell joy is put Jesus, J, first, others, O, second, and Y, yourself, third. And if you'll put Jesus first, others, second, and yourself, third, you'll have the joy of Jesus. Isn't that good? Some of y'all are going to think through that and get it one of these days. But the joy of Jesus. And you know, the Bible is chock full that believers have unspeakable joy. And we're full of glory. Tell somebody, you're full of glory. You know, the Bible says, the Word of God says, in the presence of the Lord, there is fullness of joy. Hallelujah. And the Bible says, this is my favorite verse about joy. The joy of the Lord. Read your Bible. The joy of the Lord is our strength. The joy of the Lord is our strength. And so we're talking about joy this morning. Now, in Galatians 5:22, you've got the fruits of the Spirit. Now, what's the first fruit of the Spirit in Galatians 5:22? No, the first one. Love. There you go. What's the second one? Joy. What's the third one?
Peace.
We talked about peace last week. We're talking about love next week. And this morning, we're focused on the second fruit of the Spirit, this thing called joy. Now, we are in the great vine and branches passage of John 15. And it is an amazing, amazing chapter. And the Scripture says here that if you abide in Christ, you will have a full tank of joy. The word abide in John 15 is a very, very special word, and it has to do with a fresh fellowship. It has to do with a constant, close communion with Christ. And for those that truly abide in Christ, there is great joy. He's able to work in us and for us and through us to produce the spiritual fruit in our lives that He wants. And by the way, you can't produce joy, but He can. He can. Amen? And so the spiritual fruit that we're talking about today is joy. Somebody shout joy with me.
Joy.
And by the way, the joy of Jesus doesn't depend upon your situation that you're going through. Amen. Doesn't depend upon the circumstances in life. Because joy is Jesus. Hallelujah. So let's take a look at this. We're going to focus here on verse 11. And the first question that jumps out at me in verse 11 is, have you attained His joy? Jesus said, these things I have spoken to you, that my joy may remain in you and that your joy may be full. Joy in the Christian life is attained through receiving the things that Jesus has taught. We talked about that last week when we were talking about peace. And so this joy has to be attained. Well, how do you get it? Just the way that you got peace, by faith. This joy is received by faith, and it's so important to abide in Christ, because somehow when we abide in Christ, we receive His views, His aspirations, His dreams, His hopes, His plans, His purposes for our lives. All of His joy becomes our joy. Do you see the double repetition there? He says, my joy in verse 11, and then He says, your joy. Jesus wants you to have His joy. And if you got Jesus, you got that joy. Glory to His name. And so the joy of Jesus is to be the joy of His disciples. I'm just looking for somebody that's full of joy this morning. Hallelujah. I'm always looking for somebody who's got it. Every time I get up to preach, it encourages you, you know. And so His joy is wonderful because it doesn't depend on anything else except Him. That's why He uses the word my joy and your joy. His joy ought to be our joy. And our joy ought to be His joy. Joy, 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 joy. Where?
Joy.
All right. Okay. Now, I've been singing this song all week long, so y'all have to forgive me. But Jesus and His joy is reproduced in our lives even in tough times. You can receive His joy even when things are not quite right. If you've got your Bible handy with you, just turn over real quickly to Hebrews chapter 12 and watch this. Hebrews chapter 12. Come on now, let me hear those pages. I want y'all to see this one. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 2. This is a fantastic verse of Scripture. Watch this now. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 2 says, looking unto Jesus. Who are you looking to? Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the
joy
endured the cross, despising the shame, and is seated at the right hand of the throne of God. Jesus even had joy as he was betrayed, as he was beaten, as he was bruised and bloodied. He had joy in the midst of persecution. He had joy even when he was being crucified. He had joy even in death. How did he have that joy during those terrible times of persecution and pain? Where did that come from? He had an intense desire to do his Father's will. Obedience brings that blessing. And that's why Jesus said, these things I have spoken to you. You need to know what he expects. You need to know what he wants. And so if you'll listen to Jesus and then do what he tells you to do, you'll have joy. Now, you would have had to pay $500 to go to a conference to get that. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Now, let me read another passage of Scripture to you. This is one of my favorites over here in Psalm 16. He says, I have set the Lord always before me because he is at my right hand. I shall not be moved. Therefore, my heart is glad and my glory rejoices. Isn't that good? And so if you have set this word abide is so important, y'all. It means to walk with him and talk with him and move. And I walk. How does that go? And he walks with me and he talks with me along life's narrow way. And the joy. That's an old funeral song. We need to learn it. Amen. All right. He'll give you joy even in the midst of tough days and tough times. As we obey the commandments, as we obey what he wants us to do. Let me just read a little bit here out of John 15. I'm the true vine and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. And every branch that bears fruit, he prunes that it may bear more fruit. You are already clean because of the word which I have spoken to you. Now here watch this. Abide in me. You know, the branch has to abide in the vine in order to receive all that the branch needs. It has to stay connected to the vine. You understand where we're going with that? And as we commune and as we have that fresh fellowship and that close communion with Christ, he supplies the things that we need. Verse 4, abide in me and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine. Neither can you unless you abide in me. I'm the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit. For without me, you can do nothing. Nothing. So, the key to attaining this kind of joy comes through abiding in him. And so I want to ask you, have you attained his joy? Have you received Christ by faith? Have you turned from your sin and by faith received him as your only means of salvation? If you've done that, you've got his joy. It's in you. And as you walk with him and as you talk with him along life's narrow way, then the joy that he shares with you will be yours. It's his joy. You can't produce joy, but he can. He's the one that grows that fruit in your life. Are y'all with me so far? So let me ask you again, have you attained his joy? Which leads to the second question, really, that I really wanted to ask is, are you abiding in his joy? Are you abiding in his joy? Did you see the second verse 11b says, these things I have spoken to you, that my joy may remain in you. That my joy might remain in you. Sometimes in the Christian life, things happen that have the potential to steal your joy. Hello? Now we're not talking about happiness here. We're talking about joy. Two different things. But sometimes things happen and it'll cause your joy to dissipate, or it'll cause your joy to evaporate. And you all know the number one thing that'll cause that to happen is sin. Because sin fractures that fellowship. Unconfessed, unrepented sin It'll mess things up. Y'all remember the story of David? Turn with me to Psalm 51. Psalm 51. Psalm 51. Psalm 51. Now y'all remember that David committed adultery with Bathsheba. Okay? Is that obedience or disobedience? Obviously. And then, bless God, she winds up pregnant. And so David immediately starts trying to cover his sin. And Uriah was a spirit-filled believer. I believe that with all my heart. Bathsheba's husband. And he was faithful and he was holy and he wouldn't submit to the things that David wanted him to do. And so David committed a second act of treason against the Lord, and he had Uriah put on the front lines in battle. And of course, you all know the story, what happened to Uriah. He died. And so David's guilty. And things went along at the palace for a little while until Nathan the prophet showed up and told David this story. And David said, and Nathan said, "You the man." And I mean, conviction fell upon David, and for a solid year, the Bible says David's bones even grew brittle. How many of you know sin will make an old man out of you? Unconfessed, unrepented sin will fracture that fellowship. It'll cause your joy to kind of fall by the wayside. You'll lose that joy. Now, we're not talking about losing your salvation. Don't think that. We're talking about the potential of your joy going south on you. Am I making sense? Yes. All right. Watch this. Psalm 51 in verse 12. David says, "Restore unto me the joy of your salvation and uphold me by your generous spirit." I mean, sin had done a number on David. And he had given up. He had forfeited that joy. And he says, "Please, God." And so he begins to confess his sin and he begins to turn from his sin and receive the forgiveness. And did God forgive him? Yes. David never had quite the throne of leadership after that he once had. But God restored that joy to his life. And so, can I share this with y'all? You know I'm going to. Last Sunday, where's Larry Vaden? Laura, is Larry here? Where are you? Wave at me, Larry. What are you doing in the back? Come on, dude. But he and Laura gave me a little gift, a little white, what do you call those bags, Laura? Just a little white, you know, dinghy bag or something like that. And they had all kinds of little goodies in there. And Larry, that rascal, put 2 Milky Way bars in there. And for those of you that don't know the story, when I was growing up, there was 2 things my dad told me I had better not catch you doing. And one of those was taking something that wasn't mine, stealing something. And the other was tearing somebody else's property up. And he said, "If you do one of those 2 things, you ain't going to win. It's going to be me and you." Well, we're on vacation, me and my 4 sisters. I'm about a little bit older than these boys over here. I guess I was about 8 or 9 years old, and we're in that big blue station wagon, me and my 4 sisters, and we're headed out to Oklahoma to see my grandparents. And at that time, I was getting a big whopping allowance of 25 cents a week. Now, Mike, you remember 25 cents would buy you quite a bit back in the day, you know? But anyways, I'd already spent my allowance that week. Well, Dad pulls off at this gas station on I-40, and we go in, and so he goes in to pay for the gas, and I go in, although I've already spent my money for the week, and I know I'm not getting any more. And there's this stand of Milky Way bars. And boy, I wanted one. And so I began to do this right here. I began to look around. And y'all, your pastor went over there and took one of those Milky Way bars and put it in his pocket without paying. And we get back in the station wagon, and I get in the back, you know, and pull a blanket up over me so my sisters can't see what I'm doing, and unwrap it and start eating on that Milky Way. And man, every bite started getting bad because conviction started falling over me. And I'm eating a candy bar I hadn't even paid for. And what's worse, I knew Dad was going to wipe me out, you know. And so finally, I threw the blanket off and I said, "Dad, stop the car." He said, "What's the matter, son?" I said, "I stole a Milky Way bar." And I mean, he turned that thing around. You know what he made me do? We went back. We were 20 miles down the road. And he turned around. We went back to that gas station. He said, "You go in and you tell the owner of that store what you've done." Well, I went in there. I mean, my knees were beating to the tune of Amazing Grace. And I walked in and told that guy what I'd done. And he was so impressed that I would come and confess my sin to him. He gave me another Milky Way bar. And of course, Dad didn't like that when I brought the other Milky Way out to the car. But sin will cause you, your joy to dissipate. It'll evaporate. And I don't know if you're here this morning, but I want to tell you, if you don't have joy and you're a believer, it's probably a sin issue. It's a disobedient issue. Isn't that what the Gospel of John tells us? He says up there in chapter 5, "As the Father loved me, I've also loved you. Abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I've kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love." And so unconfessed sin, unrepented sin, brothers and sisters, will cause your joy to fall by the wayside. And Jesus is praying that his joy might remain. And so disobedience will cause you, your joy to go south on you. I don't know if anybody's here in that state today, but God brought you here so you could hear that. And hallelujah, I'm the poster child. God will forgive you of any and all sin. The blood of Jesus cleanses from all sin. But I forgot to tell the Vadens, after that Milky Way incident, Snickers is now my favorite candy bar. Just remember that. Anyway, so are you abiding in his joy? Are you abiding in his joy? And that leads to the third question. Are you abounding? Abounding. That means overflowing in his joy. "These things I have spoken to you, that my joy may remain in you and that your joy may be" what? Jesus wants us to have a full tank of joy. He wants us to be overflowing with joy. Joy that doesn't depend upon our circumstances. Joy that doesn't depend. Now, I know. Man, sometimes we feel like as if we're climbing on mountains of misery and walking through valleys of agony. I mean, there's tough times. We were talking about that I was praying with some pastors like I always do on Friday mornings. And we were talking about how Christmas is a tough, tough season for a lot of folks. They've had a loved one pass away, or they've lost their job, or something else is going on. They're sick and suffering. A lot of folks have a tough time during Christmas. But let me tell you, Jesus said that my joy might remain in you and that your joy might be full. It is possible to have the joy of Jesus even in tough times at Christmas. And as I look around, I'm not talking about happiness. Don't think we're talking about unhappiness and happy. That depends upon some other things. But if you've got Jesus, you've got joy. His joy. And you can make it through. I don't know who this message is for, but it is His desire that your joy might be overflowing today. And I look at the family of God as I move through the weeks, and I'm always amazed. At all the long faces I see, the sour dispositions. Defeated, wilderness-type Christianity. My brothers and my sisters, it does not have to be that way. It does not have to be that way. Jesus said, I want your joy to be like my joy. He endured the cross, despising the shame, who for the joy, all of that was set before Him. And He finished the work. You know where I think Jesus found that joy? Yeah, He had an intense desire to be obedient to His Father's will, but I think He also looked down the road at all of those who had come to faith in the Lord. He knows what He's doing, brothers and sisters. And if your joy is not full, if your joy tank isn't full, it might be running on empty. It shouldn't be that way. It shouldn't be that way. And you can have it. I've done a lot of reading this week, and I ran across a true story about a little village down in South America, and this has really happened. And in this little village, there was a matriarch. Y'all know what a matriarch is? That's somebody who's mama over everybody. And she was an older lady, older than anybody in the village. And she had great wisdom, and the people there would always consult with her and talk to the matriarch of this village. And then one day, they were hit with an earthquake. And I mean, things were shaking and rattling and rolling, and you know, everybody was panic stricken. And then even after the earthquake, there were some tremors. And everybody's wondering, what's going to happen to us? Are we going to die? What's going on? And they're all scared to death and they're afraid. Everybody except this matriarch. And she was just as cool and calm as a cucumber. And finally, one of the villagers ran up to her and said, Mother, Mama, why are you so calm? And she said, I can rejoice because I have a God who shakes the world. Hallelujah. I don't know who you are or what's going on in your life, but we serve a God who can give you the joy that you need today. And it begins and ends with Jesus. His joy is our joy. Would you just bow your head with me? Let's just allow the Lord to work right now, to do what He wants to do. Every head bowed and every eye closed. We're going to have an altar time in just a moment. We're going to open this altar up. And some of you all know that you know that you know you need the joy to return in your life. You need to, like David, restore unto me the joy of my salvation. And we're going to just ask you to come. And there'll be some Spirit-filled men and women here to pray over you and to pray with you. But you've got to take that step. And by all means, if you've never had this joy, it's because you've never had Jesus. The Bible tells me if you'd be willing to turn from your sin and receive what Christ did for you on the cross and in the tomb, He will receive you today. And you could be born again into the family of God. And you can get that joy that you've always desired. Father, I pray right now with everyone within the sound of my voice, God, that you would restore the joy of our salvation to us. The world needs to see it. Oh, God, do what only you can do. For those that need salvation, for those that need joy to return, you do what only you can do, Father. In Jesus' powerful and precious name we pray. Stand quietly to your feet. That's right, just stand quietly to your feet. You come. Altar's open. There'll be prayer warriors here.
This is Pastor Cal again. I hope you enjoyed the message. If you'd like to talk to me or another pastor about some issue that you may have, a question you might have, you're free to call 931-332-6288.